Let's turn to California, where the predicted El Niño weather pattern is expected to bring heavy rainfall to the state this season. We got a preview of that last week and those flooding rains outside Los Angeles. But the state is still locked in drought. So will it be water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink or use for other things? How do we catch that rainwater and put it to use? Let's bring in Robert Glennon, professor of law and public policy at the University of Arizona, author of the book Unquenchable, America's Water Crisis and What to Do About It. Robert, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Robin.
So we're reading a lot of studies from the National Resources Defense Council, reports in Gizmodo last week, one titled How to Capture Water and Avoid Mudslides. That's another concern. So talk, first of all, about what the problem is right now. Where does rainwater go in cities?
Well, it's a matter of the hydrologic cycle. So it's going to go downhill by the force of gravity wherever it first hits. But what cities have done is to change the pattern, the flow patterns, because what once had been raw land, which would have been like a sponge absorbing some of the water, is now hardscape, roofs and parking lots and driveways. And so it hits those hardscape surfaces and runs off more quickly, creating flood problems. And it's made worse, Robin, because in many cities, the sewer system is hooked up to also accept the runoff from storms. And when that happens, frequently the treatment plant is overwhelmed. So, for example, in D.C., often there's raw sewage that ends up in the Potomac River because the city just doesn't have the infrastructure to take that combination.
Well, stay with the paved cities. We understand a particular problem there is that when it's sidewalks, for instance, that don't absorb water, they run it off into streams, which then are what flood and cause houses to flood.
Also true. Yeah. Also true. But there's an exciting development, and you're seeing it started in the Northwest with cities like Seattle and Portland trying to keep water out of Puget Sound or the Willamette River. And what they realized is they needed to put in mechanisms that would use some of that water rather than funnel it into the rivers with the detritus of urban living, you know, dog and cat droppings and cigarette butts and the like. But it spread all over. Philadelphia's got a huge plan for this called Green Infrastructure. Washington, D.C. is doing it. And it's a good way to alleviate some of the pressure.
What do they do?
Well, rooftop gardens, cuts in the curb of a street, so you could have a median that suddenly receives some water that was rainwater a few minutes ago, and now it's watering trees. Permeable pavers, rather than solid brick, you have pavers with holes in the middle so that the water still percolates into the ground.
Talk more about some of the other things that are being used, these low-impact technologies. Rooftops.
Yeah, rooftops. I mean, the thing about taking water out of the path that's going to the river is that someone downstream may already be relying on that water for its supply. But what I think is very exciting about water, particularly in the West, is what's called water harvesting. And so imagine your house and the roof of your house, and you collect the water that hits the roof, hits the gutters, goes through a downspout, and then you collect it in some sort of a cistern. And you can use it for a number of purposes around the house. There are even people in places like near Seattle, San Juan Island, that have gone completely off the grid. They have a large cistern, like a tank you'd see corn stored in Iowa, and then they have a treatment system on site, and they rely entirely for their year-round use on just the water that hits the roof during rainstorms.
We understand that there are 2 million people in Australia who are already using rainwater from their roofs to flush their toilets. And the thinking here is that rainwater is better for things like that in places like San Diego. We visited San Diego. They're really trying to cut back. Don't use drinking water to flush your toilet because that's usable water. Use rainwater.
Don't get me going on toilets. They are just such a waste of water. We take potable water and we mix fecal matter in it. So, yeah, we should stop doing that.
Well, but you mentioned that sometimes people downstream of you might be dependent on the water that you're stopping and harvesting. Isn't it illegal in some places to harvest rainwater?
It is. I think mistakenly in the states of Colorado and Utah, they've been very slow to adopt this. On the theory, Robin, that the water that hits your roof eventually ends up in the stream. But here's why that's a mistake. In Tucson, studies show that when we get a shower, as we are this morning, 98% of that water does not percolate into the ground. It evaporates back up into the air. So when you have hardscape, you're actually creating a new supply. And so capturing that water has very little likelihood that it would impact downstream users.
Well, you mentioned cisterns, and just to that point that things percolate back up into the air. You know, we've heard people calling for more dams to create more reservoirs, but our understanding is that a large amount of water in a reservoir in places like California and Arizona will evaporate. Cisterns are covered.
Huge amount. I mean, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, both a couple hundred miles long. Yeah, tremendous evaporation loss in the Colorado River and all dams in the West. I mean, just get an abundance of sunshine and that bright yellow ball just points down at the water and starts sucking it up. And also, there's the problem of already low flows, Robin, in rivers. If you think about the Colorado River or the Rio Grande, major rivers, neither of them reaches the ocean anymore. I mean, it's completely dried up. Now, in the early 20th century, that was normal. Herbert Hoover, president, once said, any drop of water that reaches the ocean untouched, unused, is wasted. But today we don't have that feeling about it. We know that there are environmental services provided by that water. We know, for example, that salmon, steelhead need a slug of fresh water reaching the ocean to tell them which stream to go back into. We know that oysters and shrimp depend on a slug of fresh water to keep the saltwater predators at bay during the season when they're producing their young. So we have to be very mindful of the cumulative impact and the environmental consequences of diverting too much water from a river or stream.
Well, I was just going to ask you, and you know you've waded into the biggest debate in California as to whether or not to save those rivers and streams in order to save the fish in them or to divert the water to the farmers. But put that aside. We've had that conversation. We're talking about trying to save rainwater. If people erect, you know, cisterns and put roofs up that capture all this rain, if enough people do it, won't that have a negative impact on the rivers that need the water?
If the water was going to reach the river, but as I mentioned, most of it won't. There's one other thing, though, that can be done, and that's reuse municipal water. So right there in Boston, you have the metropolitan area delivers its wastewater to the Deer Island Treatment Plant in Boston Harbor, which is a great advance from when raw sewage used to go into Boston Harbor. But here's the downside. So it's treated at the Deer Island plant, and then it's dumped in the ocean. Oh, wait a minute. That could be reused. Mm. Now, you may say, well, Massachusetts, we get 40, 50 inches of rain a year, no big deal. But the same thing, Robin, is true in Los Angeles. L.A. has a plant called the Hyperion Treatment Plant that produces a volume of water equal to the seventh largest river in the United States. And virtually every drop of that treated water gets dumped into the Pacific. Surely we have to do better than that. And some places are, including Tucson. We're reusing water for a lot of things.
Just what questions should people have if they're thinking, I'm in? We did visit a home in San Diego where, as we said, somebody put up this rooftop capture roof. But they really did a lot of research and knew what they were doing. I mean, can the average person really do this?
I think it's as simple as putting up a tank at the bottom of your gutter. The question then is, how is that water being used? It may not ultimately, some people think, reduce the homeowner's use of water. It may simply mean they have bigger trees in the backyard.
That they'll plant more and do more because they have that water. But won't it in the short term, rooftop gardens and water collection, won't that in the short term just be insulation, which can't be bad?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, have prettier streets and backyards. And earlier you were mentioning about gardeners using it. I mean, if you use rainwater, there's no chlorine or other treatment chemicals in it whatsoever. It's just the rain.
That's Robert Glennon, professor of law and public policy at the University of Arizona and the author of the book Unquenchable: America's Water Crisis and What to Do About It, about how to capture some of that rainwater that's at least heading for California. Robert, thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Robin.